In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby.
It's 5:17. Time to talk movies. Alan Adams of The Main Edge joins us for Pass the Popcorn, brought to you by Bangor Mall Cinema 10. Stillwater Avenue in Bangor, where they have a film for everyone in the family. Nice to see you, Alan.
Nice to see you, too.
You've been very busy lately.
Yes, it's been, a weekend at the theater for both of us.
Yes, yes, indeed, yeah. And I mentioned it to you off air, but wonderful cover story you did in The Main Edge about the drama festival. Well written, great information from the people you talked to, obviously, selfishly, but so great to shine a light on the really terrific young people and the work they put in.
Well, it was really important to me to have a chance to sort of share a little bit about this. Like, I've been fortunate enough in the past to serve as a judge at the one act competition a couple of times, both at the regional and at the state level, but not for a few years. And it's one of those things. Like, I feel very strongly about the value of what you and your cohort do for these kids. I think you put it really well. Like, these kids, they're gonna have a chance to do this like throughout their lives. You know, it's like, you know, not a whole lot of NBA players coming out of the high schools of the state of Maine, you know what I mean?
Right.
But there are plenty of artists, you know, and for them to have an opportunity to do this. And I know that art is subjective and, you know, turning it into a competition presents its own sets of obstacles, but there's something to be gained, I think, from the idea of operating in that arena, whether or not it plays out the way you necessarily want it to. And there are always going to be hiccups when you try to, you know, basically introduce a scoring system for art. But I think it's a valuable experience for really everyone involved. And so, you know, I really have to say my hat's off to you and everyone who works so hard to make this event such a wonderful experience for all the kids involved.
Well, it was just so cool to see all those kids supporting each other. And yeah, it's a competition, but it's also a festival. And there was that element. And you think that, I know for a lot of those kids, probably the biggest audience they've ever performed in front of.
Oh, of course.
You know, 500 people in there to watch them for all the performances. It was great.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic.
Very cool. And you've got your own show getting ready to go up this week at Penobscot Theater.
That's right. I'm in the Penobscot Theater Company production of Ripcord, which opens this weekend. We had tech this past weekend, and you know, it's one of those things. One of the things that I don't think has been necessarily promoted too much is how technical a show this is. You know, it's like it's a comedy, and it's you know, there's a lot of fun. There's a fun element to it, but there are some significant technical endeavors that are being undertaken to mount this show, and I think people are going to be really quite impressed by how it all comes together. I think they're going to have a lot of fun seeing what happens when we sort of break out of the world established by the play and venture a little farther afield. There are a couple of scenes that I think are really going to catch people's eye and take them aback. But yeah, we're having a lot of fun. It's a really fun, funny show. And yeah, Pay What You Will is on Wednesday. Like, people are going to see this in like 2 days. So yeah, it's marvelous cast. Danielle Kennedy is back. She was so good as the lead in August Osage County here a few years ago. PTC newcomer Sarah Morsi is here. And then there's the rest of us. We're not so bad. Like, there's me, Jen Shepard, Brad Labrie, Ben Lehman. Like, it's a really good group, and we're having some fun. And I hope people come out and check it out, because you're gonna have a good time.
How did you get to see any movies at all this weekend?
Well, you know, if it had been any other weekend, I might have just said to heck with it. But I wasn't gonna miss Captain Marvel.
Well, no, apparently nobody else did either.
I know, right? What did I see? 153 million domestic, 455 global.
Yeah.
You know, top 10 opening weekend of all time.
I didn't think people would see it. It's got a woman in the
lead. I know. It's a lady in the lead.
Well, that's crazy talk. Yeah. whatever.
You know, and we're obviously alluding to the online campaign by a certain subset of unfortunate individual trying desperately to undermine this movie, largely because it features a woman as its lead character. And so taking to sites like Rotten Tomatoes and writing incredibly critical pan reviews, despite, you know, not having seen the movie.
Imagine.
Yeah. No, it's the... But I did see it. And again, like you said, a lot of other people saw it. And I really had a good time. I really did. It was a wonderful sort of first foray into female-led superhero cinema. Obviously DC beat them to the punch with Wonder Woman, but yeah, here's the thing. Brie Larson's really good. Like, she's an incredibly talented actress, and so when you put her, it doesn't matter that she's wearing spandex. Like, it's very much one of those things where she is she's not only talented, but she's not afraid to treat the material honestly with that talent,
right?
And that makes such a huge difference. Like, it's none of the people involved, which includes some pretty prominent names, not just Brie Larson, Annette Bening's in this movie, Jude Law's in this movie, nobody's acting like they're above the material. And so once you have that, well, that commitment to sharing the world that everyone's existing in, you get compelling cinema. And I'm not going to say that this is top tier Marvel. It's probably not, but it's far from the worst. And it's serving as sort of a lead in to next month's probably going to make all the money Avengers Endgame. This one's going to be a real good one. Real quick, as far as synopsis, Larson plays at the top of the movie. She's a Kree warrior by the name of her name is Veers, and she, along with her mentor, who's played by Jude Law, they live on the Kree homeworld of Hala. They're engaged in a centuries long conflict with the shape shifting alien race known as Skrulls. She's amnesiac. She's lost her memory. So she has only flickers of her past, mysterious flashes of a life that she does not remember. When circumstances lead to her crash landing on the planet Earth, she discovers that that past that she struggles to remember, well, that's where it took place.
Mm.
Was on the planet Earth, and her explosive way that she arrived drew the attention of the agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., led by a digitally de-aged Samuel L. Jackson as Nick Fury. Because I don't think I mentioned this, movie set in 1995.
Oh,
so it's set in the past, which as someone whose musical tastes calcified at that exact moment in time, it's a really good soundtrack. Like, a really good soundtrack. Basically, Veers, who we discover is actually a former Air Force pilot named Carol Danvers, teams up with Nick Fury. She uses her powers in an effort to prevent what she believes is an impending Skrull invasion of Earth. But, you know, things are always just a little bit more complicated than that, Rich. And so she's left with no one really to trust except Nick Fury, her old friend Maria Rambeau, played by Lorena Lynch, and her cat Goose. The cat's name is Goose.
Alrighty.
Because of course.
Sure.
But even with Goose, there's more than meets the eye.
Hmm.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good.
Okay. You can't tell me.
No, I can't. I'm not going to tell you. It's all over the internet, but I'm not going to tell you. that's basically where we're at. It's, for those who don't remember, the last Nick Fury's last action at the end of Avengers Infinity War was to send a page to the aforementioned Captain Marvel, and we get to see him receiving said pager and all that business. So she's on her way back, I can only imagine she's going to play a significant role in whatever happens in Avengers Endgame, which comes out, I think, April 8th. Like, it's right around the corner. Look, it's really funny because one of the things that I've really enjoyed about sort of the recent spate of mostly Phase 3 Marvel movies is the willingness for the studio to hand the keys over to maybe unconventional choices for like franchise movie directors. Like we saw great work from Mr. Waititi when he did Thor Ragnarok, Mr. Coogler with Black Panther. And yeah, and this time around, it's co-directed by Anna Boden and Ryan Fleck, who are best known for like edgy indie fare. Like you remember the movie Half Nelson?
Yeah,
Ryan
yeah.
Gosling as yeah. a wrestling coach. Baseball movie called Sugar.
Yes.
Yes. These are the people who directed wow. those movies, and now they've they're driving this gigantic like cosmic themed Marvel movie, and that's sort of when they have that kind of aesthetic, that sort of sensibility, it always sort of leaks in. And granted, within the bounds of the Marvel, the MCU formula, and there's very much a formula there, and we're dealing with an origin story, so there are those beats as well. Plus, you have to take into account the necessity of being connective tissue with the 20-some movies that came before. But you put all that together, and it's still a movie that you could watch without having any context. I mean, there would be some bits that would kind of go past you and go over your head, but in terms of just sheer engaging narrative, there's a lot to enjoy there. A lot of that comes from the directors. A lot of that comes from Brie Larson, who just owns the screen when she's on it. This despite the fact that she spends the first half of the movie as sort of almost that sort of blank because of the lost past and all right. that stuff. But then you've got the dynamic with her and Samuel L. Jackson, who has more to do as Nick Fury in this movie than he's had probably since the beginning. Wow. And so that dynamic is really a lot of fun. The supporting cast is phenomenal. The lead Skrull is played by Ben Mendelsohn, who's wonderful. Like he's a wonderfully and talented Australian actor, and he gives low-key one of the best Marvel villain performances, I think, in ways unanticipated, unexpected, really interesting kind of ways that you don't that serve as a lovely little surprise as you go along through the film. It's nice. He's very good. And again, Annette Bening, Jude Law, like these are remarkably talented individuals. Jimon Hounsou is here. Like it's a great cast. The performances are wonderful. It's got the sort of patented Marvel snappy patter kind of vibe to it. The set pieces are solid, both in terms of the macro when you're talking about the sort of more cosmic space set stuff, and on the smaller scale stuff, there's a wonderful fight sequence that takes place on a moving train that's a lot of fun. Yeah, like I said, it's got its issues. The pacing lags in some places, and there are a few issues with the plotting. Things get a little crowded sometimes. But for the most part, like it's a super good time at the movies. And again, I think as the penultimate sort of movie of Phase 3, and as a lead in. To this next Avengers movie, I don't know that you could come up with a better choice.
So have we expanded summer blockbuster season by a couple more months?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I think that's where we're at, because this is the basic slot where we got Black Panther last year.
Right.
So it's like, I think Marvel has decided that they're going to stake out that sort of early spring corner as their own. By all accounts, it appears to be working, because, Black Panther made $1 billion, and Captain Marvel is well on its way to doing the exact same thing.
Now, was that the only movie you saw this weekend?
It was. Weirdly enough, when you're at the theater from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m., yeah. there's not a lot of time to go see movies.
Fine, be that way.
I know, I'm the worst.
No, you're not. You're the best.
Oh, thanks, man.
Hey, while you're here, Tubiga, I know you posted about it on Facebook, as so many people have, but I'm sure, like all of us, but with a little added inside knowledge of the man, shocked like everybody with the news on Alex Trebek.
Yeah, it was hard. Strange how hard it hit me when I heard that news. It was one of those things. I was at rehearsal, and my notifications just started blowing up, people texting, sending me messages. To see that something like that had happened, it's really sad. I'm a part of there's a Facebook group for Jeopardy contestants, and so a lot of time has been spent in that group talking about what Alex Trebek means to not just us, but to the public at large. Ken Jennings wrote a great piece.
Oh, that was terrific.
That was really wonderful. A number of people in the group have been you know, arranging for fundraisers and sort of prayer vigils and all of these things sort of devoted to, well, to just rooting for the guy, yeah. You know, and it's, and again, like my, my exposure to him was very brief, you know, a brief conversation, a handshake and a picture. But, you know, for me and for so many people, like there's an unassailable connection to one of the most exciting moments of our lives.
Right.
And so like you have that connection, that connection's always going to be there. And so, yeah, it's sad. And you can only hope that he's one of the lucky few who get to have a happy ending with something like this.
And for those of us who've never been on the show, I mean, this is a guy that we've invited into our homes every night for 35 or more years.
Yeah, for decades. Yeah. Like he's been a part of the, you know, the cultural fabric of America. And so, you know, he's one of those few sort of the four quadrant sort of people, like young, old, male, female, like we all, like everybody loves Alex Trebek.
Right.
And you know, you just have to hope things work out for the best.
Yeah, absolutely. Alan Adams from The Main Edge with us here on Downtown. Alan, and we thank you as always. Have a good last couple of rehearsals and then break legs as Ripcord opens at Penobscot Theater this week.
We're going to tear it up, man.
I can't wait. Looking forward to seeing it.
Awesome.
Thanks, Alan.